This is the first time Kate's spoken in this gathering, but she's had a huge impact on so many of us. We have a group on Tuesdays that Kate's part of, and often the conversation starts with, well, when I came to church, I first met Kate, and so on. Kate, I just thought I'd say a few things about you.
Great.
So that people can get to know you that way a bit as well, and then I'll just, we'll
Thanks.
Pray. That's a pleasure. I hope it's not awkward for you standing here as I say about you, but that's fine. So Kate, I was just thinking then, she is an amazing practical server. She serves really well with all of herself, and she's incredibly generous in the time that she gives helping other people. Kate's also full of integrity. She's fantastic at being really honest with who she is, but also asking fantastic questions of other people because she wants to know how they really are as well. She's got a wicked sense of humour. And I think she's passionate in lots of different ways in lots of areas of life. But, yeah, would you like to tell us just how long you've been here for, a member of this family?
It's in my notes to do in a second.
Sorry.
So let's leave a cliffhanger.
Stepping on toes. Okay, great. Let's pray and then you can start.
Thanks so much.
That's a pleasure. You look great in the Kylie mic. Dear Jesus, I thank you so much for Kate. I thank you for the gift of speaking and teaching that you've put in her. I thank you for the way that she sees your word with fresh eyes. Lord, make us ready to receive what she's going to share with us about going above and beyond. Amen.
Amen. That's very encouraging. Thank you. When you guys found out that Jill was stuck in traffic and therefore we had no clergy, did anyone have a slight mischievous thought that we could do whatever we wanted? Like when the teacher doesn't turn up for class, we could have put the chair to the side and played games. Janet did. Oh, we've got one clergy. Janet at the back. We could have locked her in the toilets and then gone and played some frisbee, but no, we were all very well behaved and we stayed put, and then Jill did turn up, so she would have known. As Rebecca says, I'm Kate. I work down the road at Hotwells Primary School. I help to lead the youth work here. I've been a member since 2010 when I came to a Christmas service. I was up on the balcony, and for the first time since coming to Bristol Uni, experienced the Holy Spirit and realised that Holy Spirit does turn up in the Anglican context as well as my Pentecostal background. So that was really encouraging, and I decided to make a home here. For me, Christchurch provides a great picture of the body of Christ with lots of different people who have lots of different giftings and quirks. And it's been a brilliant series this term based around 1 Corinthians 12. And it is a great honour to finish the series off and provide some of my own great commission. My challenge tonight is for us not just to serve above and beyond, but to serve to infinity and beyond. As a disciple of Jesus, part of your calling is to serve those around you at Christ Church, in other churches, at work, at home, and in your communities until your dying day. Jesus himself led a life of service, and he has provided us with a blueprint that we should go and do likewise. I'm a learning support assistant in a primary school, which means that I go into class, I get alongside pupils, help them to engage and access their learning. I particularly work with one girl who has quite a tough time outside of school. My first job as an LSA was at St. Mary Redcliffe Secondary School, which Chris went to and some of our youth currently go to. And it was just a couple of months into that job where the fire alarm went off during a Year 7 assembly. Now, for the Year 7 assembly, it was in the gym, so they had to take their shoes off so that they didn't get the floor all scuffed up from their shoes. So the fire alarm goes off, and they had to get outside as soon as possible and therefore weren't allowed to put their shoes back on. It was a really, really grey day in January, and it was pouring with rain, and the Astro, where they had to gather, was beginning to get pools of rainwater. As hundreds of little Year 7s they shuffled back to assembly in their socks, shivering away and soaked to the bone, I looked around and realised that no member of staff was planning on doing anything to make them more comfortable or prevent them from getting hypothermia. And it was then that I took matters into my own hands and I did something I would not dream of doing now. I said to the head of Year 7 that I would sort it, so I went and got my purse, jumped onto my bicycle, and 20 minutes later I was back at school, having been to Primark, to buy loads of socks, and I sent them round to the different classes. I didn't even tell my line manager what I was going to do, I just went AWOL and did it. The reason I wouldn't do it now is because I understand the etiquette of employment and staff management a lot more, and know that you can't just do that. But maybe on that day it was a good thing that I didn't know the rules and I went above and beyond. I looked up my job description this week and noticed a little sentence in it which basically gives my manager carte blanche to ask me to do anything. It reads, "You must undertake professional duties that may be reasonably assigned by the Senko and any other tasks as directed by the head teacher which fall within the scope of this post." Essentially, it means do whatever you're told to do. I've been asked tonight to talk about going above and beyond in service, but I do have a slight issue with the idea of going above and beyond. The reason is this. Within the phrase above and beyond is the implicit notion that we can cap our service. We can put a full stop on it, and any extra we do is above and beyond. But can we really cap service? To say that we've gone above our calling to serve says that we can say to God, "I've done enough. I've done my bit. I can tick that box now." It's implying that there's a cut-off point to our service. I've done my bit, I can tick that box. Religion is all about ticking boxes. It's what Chris was talking about. It's our heart response. It's not about what we're doing. Do we have a heart that knows, if I do this, this, and this, I can sit down and rest? Or is our heart going, "How can I serve you? How can I serve you? How can I serve you?" You know, it also provides space to brag. So, "Oh, I was asked to tidy the chairs away. Not only did I tidy the chairs away, but I also hoovered." Or, "It was my job at home this week to load the dishwasher. Not only, housemates, did I load it, but I also topped up the salt." When we consider Jesus' approach to service, I think it's a different story. In chapter 2 of Paul's letter to the Philippians, Paul calls the church to have the mind of Jesus, who made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. To me, having the form of a servant is synonymous with being human. At the heart of humanity is service. And did Jesus cap his service? Did he create a job description for himself that had boxes to be ticked? Or did he do any other tasks as directed by the head teacher, which will fall within the scope of the post? In the same Philippians passage, Paul describes our King Jesus as being found in human form. He humbled himself by coming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. This sounds to me like Jesus didn't cap his service. It sounds to me that he had a mentality and a heart of doing whatever he needed to do to serve people. And Paul had that same mentality in the passage that Mark just read to us. Paul says, "Though I am free and belong to no one, I have made myself a slave to everyone to win as many as possible." Paul pulled up his sleeves and did whatever he needed to do to win as many as possible. I've noticed that good parents never say they are going above and beyond in their parenting. There is no above and beyond in parenting. Why? Because they're the ones that are called to do it, because they love, because there is a need and they can meet it. I can guarantee that Chris has never realised that Raffi needed her nappy changed, but thought, "Nope, I've done 5 today, that's my lot." That man gets his changing bag and he sorts out that stinky nappy. And after, I'm pretty sure he then doesn't brag about doing the 6th one as his above and beyond. He steps more into his identity as dad and serves his daughter. Are we limiting our service and thereby limiting God? In limiting what we do, are we limiting what God is asking us to do? A frequent teaching that we really enjoy in especially 20s and 30s is that God is a God who will do more than we can ask or imagine. God does more than we can ask or imagine, and as we are being made more into God's image, we will begin to emulate that. I would encourage you to have some policies in your life that are revealing that characteristic of God in you. Have a policy where you always pay for the coffees, and that really feels like the bare minimal when we're talking about following Jesus' example of being obedient to death. Leave a public toilet in better condition than when you enter it. Do more than people expect of you. If you're asked to tidy your room, do that and then tidy the sitting room too. If you're making your packed lunch for tomorrow, Mark, make Michael's for him too. Going the extra mile for someone communicates the value of that person as higher than what they gave themselves. Someone might think they are only worthy of a one-off favour of a lift to church, but why don't you regularly give it? The reading from last week before Alice's incredible preach really spoke to me about this topic. It was 2 Corinthians 9, and the verses I'll focus on now are 12 to 14. Paul writes to the Corinthians about the service they have been performing. For the ministry of this service, the one that they were performing in Corinthia, The ministry of this service is not only supplying the needs of the saints, but it is also overflowing in many thanksgivings to God. By their approval of this service, they will glorify God because of your submission, flowing from your confession of the gospel of Christ, and the generosity of your contribution for them and for all the others. Thanks be to God for his inexpressible gift. He says that their service not only supplies the needs of the Lord's people, but also overflows in many expressions of thanks to God. He says that as a direct response of the service they have done, others will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel. The question really is not why serve, but why not serve? As we serve, we supply the needs of someone and cause an overflow of thanksgiving. As you surprise people and do more than they can ask or imagine, you are telling them through your actions that you value them, that you know their needs, and you're willing to supply their needs. And that will also overflow in thanksgiving. A pastor friend once told me that as a default, he usually declines someone's offer for help. He just doesn't receive help very easily. But he has a policy where if someone offers that help again, he will accept it so as to learn to receive love from people where before he may have struggled to believe he was worthy of that love and support. Just to warn you, I have a policy where I don't argue about who's going to pay for my drink. If I say I'll get it and someone says I'll get it, I don't say, no, I'll get it. I say, okay, thanks. Why do we argue when someone offers to buy us a drink? Why do we argue about it? People sometimes learn the hard way to not be so British about it because then they end up paying for my drinks. But it's a very British thing to say, no, it's fine. If someone is trying to serve you, then let them serve you. Receive their service. Hearing God's call to serve, seeing Jesus' blueprint to serve, and allowing the Holy Spirit to equip you for every good work is going to propel us into deeper discipleship. It's going to advance the kingdom of God in Clifton and beyond, and it's going to result in thanksgiving. That is something to get on board with. Sign me up to that. Would you like to supply to the needs of the saints, and would you like to contribute to many thanksgivings to God? Then serve to infinity and beyond. Rebecca's going to get up in a sec, or now would be great. And I'm going to pose a question in a second, but I was speaking with Joe this week about the notion of managing expectations, and we were talking about the idea of what it is to manage expectations, and it's a very good phrase and it is good to do it, but I think what we mean when we say I'm going to go and manage someone's expectations is I'm going to go and lower their expectations, because I never have to manage someone's expectations to let them know I'm going to do more than they're expecting, because that's a real treat and it is important and we do need these boundaries. But the question I want everyone to ruminate on over the next few minutes is, what one thing can you do this week which is more than someone will expect, ask, or imagine? So just one practical thing that will do that.
That's fantastic. Thanks so much, Kate. That's a lot in there to think about and to take away. So we're going to spend just 1 minute now in quiet, and I'm going to pray over us that we would feel a sense of that one thing that we can kind of, what's exactly the phrasing? I don't want to say above and beyond because it's infinity and beyond.
What one thing can you do this week which is more than someone will expect, ask, or imagine?
Brilliant. So we're going to ask ourselves that and see what, often it's the first thing that pops into your head or what stirs or excites you. And then we're going to have a couple of moments just to share it with the person next to you if you feel comfortable doing that as a way of kind of, getting it stuck in you. So let's do that. Would you like to pray for people as they do that?
I'd love to. Jesus, thank you that you came to earth and you were found in the form of a man and you served. And that those two things go hand in hand. And as we're found tonight in the form of men and women, would we see that the mandate that comes with that is to serve, and I pray that you will reveal to us tonight a way that we can exceed someone's expectations of us in our service to them, whether it's at work, at home, in church, across Bristol. Reveal something to us and help us to activate the teaching that you have delivered through me tonight. Amen.
Okay, so just 1 minute now, just to think and ponder on that question. Okay, and when you're ready, just turn to the person next to you or the couple of people around you. And share a particular part of that talk that spoke to you, and then also what you feel like you'd like to kind of, how you'd like to implement it this week.
Have lots and lots of chatter, so maybe later on we'll be able to pray into that one thing that you're going to do later this during this week. And it's now really hard to get you to stop, but I'm going to keep talking until you do. I'm going to introduce Nick next. I remember meeting Nick, and on the first time he came to Christchurch, he was standing at the back, they just arrived, and I found out he was from New Zealand, poor man. And Nick, knowing the connection with Rebecca and Andrew, who had just come back from New Zealand, what did I do? I went and plucked him from the back and brought him all the way to the front. True, isn't it? And I introduced them. And he's been here ever since. But he got something right. And then the other thing is Nick also is very much involved. He's one of those people who's, you may think is behind the scenes, but he's got his hand in many things. He has brought new vitality into the office. And he's not even responding to me. He's brought new vitality into the office. Yes. Yes. He's got a heart for seeing efficiency. Okay? So, you know, he's a natural person to make things work. And a real heart. I know, because I've done his Strength Finder results, he also has a real heart and understanding where people are. And I think that's going to be quite important for tonight, because when he comes to speak, he's also going to be speaking and positioning what he's going to be saying with what's going on and what he's sensing in this room as well. And it's going to be slightly different as well. So we've got some creative things. So Nick, come and stand here. Not that I'm being bossy. but can we just put our hands out towards Nick while I pray for him? Father, we just want to thank you for this heart of this lovely man. We thank you for the way you brought him here. The way you have positioned him here. The way that you have placed him here. To use all of who he is in service. And it pours out of him. And Lord, we just want to entrust your word to him tonight. And Lord, will you use it to bring a message to each of us. Lord, will you just pour your blessing upon Nick. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
That was lovely, Jill. Thank you. Didn't Kate do well? Didn't she do well? And the worship team, oh, they could just keep playing while I talk. They're so good. I'm part of a team. I'm part of a team with this beautiful wife called Jo. And we came here about 2 years ago. And we never left. We just love it. We just love this church. And we love who's part of this church. And I'm so privileged to be able to stand here and to be able to speak to you. So I really take it as being an honor. And I thank you. I just want to pray quickly. So let's just close our eyes. As I was preparing, I just felt the sense of the Holy Spirit. And my prayer right now is the Holy Spirit will come into this room. And it'll touch every heart in this room. And hearts will be open to the words of what we've got to say, what Kate said, what I've got to say. Come, Holy Spirit. Come and fill this place. Open your hearts tonight, people. Open your hearts tonight. In Jesus' mighty name. Everyone said, amen. Forgot where I was like facing this way. I was reading Paul's passage, and a lot jumped out to me straight away, and it was above and beyond. And I thought, where's Jesus gone above and beyond? Because he's who I want to look to. Where's he gone above and beyond? And so I first went to Mark chapter 6. So freely grab your Bible and open that up. I felt drawn to two passages, and I think they're going to complement Paul really well. And they display Jesus' life and his disciples' ability to go above and beyond. Mark chapter 6 is where Jesus feeds the 5,000. One day Jesus' disciples all gathered around him. I'm not reading scripture. Nick Carter paraphrase. But you know where I'm at. One day Jesus' disciples all gathered around him to tell him all that they'd been doing. But Jesus, seeing that they were in a busy place, decided to take them somewhere else to eat and rest. So the disciples are tired. They've been working all day. And Jesus is like, we're gonna go somewhere else. So they go jump in a boat. But they get to the other side, and there's thousands of people there. So they're tired, they're hungry, and they get in a boat to go somewhere solitary, and there's thousands of people there. But Jesus had compassion on this crowd and started to teach them. But by this time it was late in the day, and the disciples said to Jesus, let's tell the people to go away so they can find some food. And Jesus said, no, you get them some food. Now, I'm not sure about you, but if I did decide to go somewhere for a break and there was thousands, maybe let's say 5,000 men plus women and children, so maybe 10,000 people, give or take. So I'd gone somewhere for a break, and then I was told to work. I was told to go and find some food, and then Jesus said to the disciples, okay, I want you to get everyone into 50s, into groups of 50s and hundreds. So you got 12 people and 10,000 people, and they're getting them all into groups. So you're tired, you're hungry, and Jesus is getting you to work. That's basically the part of the story that's got the key point in it. Because everyone else knows the rest of the story. They get 5 loaves, they get 2 fish, and Jesus feeds them. But I don't think that miracle would have happened unless the disciples had essentially gone above and beyond. Do you know what I mean? Do you understand what I'm saying? So it was a point of going above and beyond. Because if it was me and I was natural, in the natural environment, I'd be like, they can go get their own food. I'm tired. I want to go home. Jesus put the disciples into a purposeful situation where they were required to serve, and then a miracle occurred. The easy option would have been to send the people away, but I think the moment of going above and beyond released something. It created a miracle. So, Father, I pray tonight that as we hear your voice and in this moment, that we'll sense promptings of the Holy Spirit and then we'll capture something and you'll be able to do a miracle in us. I remember a time in New Zealand when I was with some friends and we used to go out in the middle of the night. We'd leave about 10 o'clock and we'd go into the city and we'd feed the homeless people. And we'd do it because they slept during the day and they were awake at night. I don't know if you know many homeless people, but they feel in danger on the street, so they stay awake at night and they're out. So it's prime time to go and minister to them. Anyway, so we found this guy and we built up the courage to pray for him because he had like a skin condition. It was really, really swelled up. And I remember there was about three of us and we got to this guy and we laid our hands on it. And then this guy turns up and he's huge. He's got tats all over him and he's a skinhead. I'm freaking out. But something in me is like, no, it's okay. But I remember looking into his eyes and just seeing anger and seeing brokenness. And I remember just going, oh, man. And he's like, what are you guys doing? I said, we're praying for this guy. We're praying for this guy. He's like, okay, pray for me too. I was like, what just happened? And over the course of the evening, I remember looking around at one point and there was these guys praying for him and he's on his knees, he's got his arms out. And I was like, hold on a minute. He was just in a bar, partying it up with his boys, and now he's down here on a street in his knees. Like, what's up with that? But I think it was the moment that we said we're going to pray for this guy, something happened. It gave God the ability to step in. It's about going, not when, like, I guess I'm trying to explain above and beyond, as in the moment that something else happens because you step into an unknown environment, right? You're walking along and then you feel the sense of the Holy Spirit and the promptings and you act on it and God can take advantage of that moment. But how many times do we miss opportunities? How many times are we not in tune with the Holy Spirit? And so I think we miss opportunities where God could speak through us and into our lives. The next passage I want to go to is Jesus with the Samaritan woman. Jesus and his disciples are going for a walk to get to Galilee. They take a long route. They probably could have taken a shorter route, but they take a long route. They get to this well. You might see a trend here, and the disciples are hungry. And so they go off and get food, but they leave Jesus. And Jesus starts speaking to this Samaritan woman. He starts speaking truth into her life. And she's like, who are you? And she's quickly amazed at his presence and her ability to transform her life. He speaks into her past. What's interesting is the disciples get back and they're, for one, going, why are you talking to that woman? We don't normally talk to a Samaritan woman. And Jesus keeps talking to her and then she leaves. And they're all thinking, why is he doing that? They don't say anything, but they're all thinking it. And they say, Jesus, do you want some food now? And he's like, no. Verse 32, I have food to eat that you know nothing about. Then the disciples said to one another, could someone have brought him food? And then Jesus says, my food, said Jesus, is to do the will of the Father who sent me and finish his work. What I love about this passage is Jesus is explaining his key mission in this moment to his disciples, but they appear to miss it. Jesus' mission is to do the will of the Father, and I believe it without a shadow of a doubt that our mission is to do the will of the Father. And that is where we're going to see above and beyond. Once we connect with the Holy Spirit, and it's different for everyone. So I can't come here tonight and say, you're going to serve there's a job to serve here in church, you're going to serve there, because I don't know. But the Holy Spirit does. And the more we commune with him, the more amazing stuff we're going to see. What was important to Jesus was not to eat food, but it was to connect with the Father. It was to meet this woman's real needs, to serve her and do the will of the Father, no matter what the cost. Now, please hear me today. I'm not saying we all need to starve ourselves. We all need to go out in the middle of the night, start feeding the homeless, or dramatically change what we're doing, maybe for some. But I think for many of us, and dare I say all of us, it's going to be spending more time with God. It's literally going to be that. That is the answer to this series. Knowing your place is spending time with the King of Kings, hanging out with Jesus. That's when we're going to find our place, constantly in check with the Holy Spirit. Because once that becomes a habit, I have no shadow of a doubt, and I'm seeing it in my own life, we're going to see more and more influence, more and more people come to Jesus. You're going to see more miracles. There's some head nodding going on out there now. Let's just give ourselves a chance to respond. Are we operating for a place where we're in line with the will of the Father? And what steps can we take to do that? Jenny, do you want to jump up? Yeah. I made a few years ago, the first time I spoke, I've only spoken three times in my life. This is my third. Yeah. From a pulpit. Cut it out, Andrew. But I made this pact that I'll always give people a chance to respond. I don't want to just tell Nick Carter stories. I want Jesus to come into the room, and I want people to understand what he can do for them. And Father, I give you the opportunity right now to turn up and speak to some hearts. So the first person that I want to speak to tonight is someone, maybe you don't even know Jesus. Maybe even who we're talking about, it doesn't even make sense. But this person, this man, came to earth and died for us. And if you are at a moment right now where you think, oh, I genuinely want to know who this Jesus guy is, then I think tonight's your night, honestly. And so I ask you to just check in your heart tonight. Do I want to make a decision to get to know this Jesus guy? For others, you maybe you don't know Jesus. Sorry, for others, you maybe you do know Jesus, but kind of you feel dry, or the season of life for you is not going as well as it could be, and there's been a stirring in your heart. And I'd love to give you the chance to respond as well. And lastly, I'd like to give anyone the opportunity to respond who's felt God speaking to them through a way that only he does. Only the Holy Spirit does, through a prompting of your heart or a chance for you to think, I want something more than what I've got right now. I want to step into something new for me. I don't know what you thought when you heard the series was about knowing your place and going above and beyond, but when I first thought about it, it was probably like, man, we could get some more people on our welcome team. But that's not it. It's not about serving in church. It's about what God's put on your heart for your life and knowing your place. And I pray more than anything that stirs in you tonight. So lastly, I just want to pray as I ask Jill to come up and the rest of the band. Lord, thank you for this evening. Thank you for the word that Kate spoke. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for what you're doing in our lives. Thank you, Father, that you came and died for us. Thank you, Jesus, for coming and being our Savior. In Jesus' name, amen.